Most of us would like to think that we'd do the right thing if we saw somebody breaking into a store or abusing a child. But does informing the authorities about somebody tossing a cigarette out of their car make you a responsible citizen or a snitch? In Iowa, there's a toll-free number for drivers to call when they see a fellow motorist empty an ashtray on the street or flip a burger bag out the window. There is no fine, but the litterer gets letters from the Keep Iowa Beautiful organization, from the Iowa State Patrol Chief, and from the heads of two police associations. And Hawkeye litter bugs are not the only miscreants under public scrutiny. Parents in New York can attach a "How's my nanny" sign on their kid's stroller so concerned passersby can jot down the plate number, log onto a website, and send an email to the child's parents to report any inappropriate behavior. And of course, there are the "How's my driving" stickers on thousands of trucks and vans across the country. Are these schemes useful tools to hold people more responsible for their actions or counterproductive invitations to rat? Later in the program, home for the holidays, fixing the old folks' computer, but first, the Snitch Society. Have you ever reported on a stranger? We're not talking felonies in progress here, but if you will, quality of life crimes. Have you ever been the recipient of an anonymous complaint? Give us a call. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. And our first guest is Jill Staroshevsky. She launched the How's My Nanny license plates website in October. She's a former prosecutor and the mother of two, and she joins us now from our bureau in New York. Very nice of you to come in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And why did you decide this was necessary?
Well, I decided it was necessary, I guess. Let me just back up. I'm a current prosecutor. I'm not a former prosecutor. It's okay. I'm on maternity leave. I just had my second child.
Congratulations.
And thank you. I was in the park earlier this year, back in March, and I observed two young children, little girls, playing by themselves, and they were unattended. And I watched them for almost an hour, and no one interacted with them. No one made sure they weren't falling off of the jungle gym. No one made sure they didn't run into the street on Second Avenue, and no one made sure they weren't taken away at the hand of a stranger, which is where I'm not only a prosecutor, but I prosecute sex crimes and child abuse, and unfortunately, most often, sex crimes against children. Mm. So when I saw these kids unattended, I'm thinking they could be sitting across from my desk as a victim of a child sex crime. I then, a little while later, after an hour, noticed that they ran over to a woman in the park who turned out to be their nanny. And I decided I was going to tell the parents about how their nanny wasn't watching the kids and they could have gotten seriously injured. And I realized, how am I going to figure out who the parents are? And I wasn't able to, and this is why I created a way to do that.
Mm-hmm. And how have a lot of people signed up for this?
We've had a lot of interest. I also have to, I'm sorry to correct another thing. It's not just parents in New York. We've already branched out to New Jersey. We've gotten phone calls and emails from Vancouver. We were on the phone on Friday with an affiliate who wants to start up in London. So this is really, it's pervasive. Moms and dads are worried about their children. And this is not to say that nannies are bad. Of course, there are wonderful nannies out there, but this is just so that it's three things. One, so that the parents can have the reassurance that they need when they go back to work so they can feel, I'm doing everything possible to know that my child is okay. Some people get nanny cams for inside the home. This is for when they're outside of the home. They can know, you know, I know if something's going to happen, good or bad, it'll be reported to me. That's the first thing. The second thing is, this is actually like a deterrent. You know, it's funny, I know you're talking about the whole how's my drive thing.
Yeah.
I had previously read when I was doing this earlier that, you know, 20% when the trucking industry came out with these How's My Driving bumper stickers, there was a 20 to 50% decrease of truck-related accidents as a result because people know that they're now reportable. If this somehow stops a nanny from who might otherwise ignore a child or let them cry in a stroller, isn't that enough of a reason to do it? And then finally, there's the reporting. You can get a negative report saying, you know, your nanny wasn't doing something or your nanny did something bad. You should know what it is. And you can get a wonderful positive report. The site is set up so that the nannies can receive praise. And how else are they going to get praise? Because the parents don't know what they're doing all day. Mm-hmm. So it's really beneficial on all of those levels.
It's not necessarily the nanny who may be pushing that stroller that day. It might be the mom or the dad.
interesting. When I first came up with this idea, I thought, you know what, I'll just make a little pin. It'll say, how's my nanny? We'll stick it to the diaper bag and that'll be it. Well, people felt, well, what if the nanny takes it off or mm-hmm. covers it up? So we decided to make it into a license plate. And then we figured, well, how are they not going to take it off? It comes with these cable ties that attach to the license plate and to the stroller, and it can't be removed. So some parents say, you know what, I want to be able to remove it when I'm pushing the stroller. So they put little hooks on, and you can do whatever you want. Some parents want it removable, others don't. So you do what's best for you. If you want it removable, you put it on with hooks, and when you're pushing the stroller, you take it off.
And there is a risk, though, that people can abuse this service. Somebody vindictive, for example, could be out to cost an enemy a job.
Well, you know, what we did consider that. And what we did was we set up the site so that there are several safeguards. And there are three safeguards that I want to tell you about. The first one is you can't just randomly pick a number because you have to know the number of the license plate. So say, you know, someone's number 123
right.
and you want to make something up. In order to make a report, you have to give the date, the time, and the location of where you saw the nanny and what they did. Now, if you say, I saw this nanny in Central Park on Tuesday doing XYZ, and mom knows, well, we have a music together class in the Lower East Side. She couldn't have gotten there that quickly. There are ways to figure out that's not a real report. The second thing is that in order to, you know, make a report, it's anonymous if the person who reports chooses to be anonymous. However, they don't have to be. They can give their name and information. However, it's only anonymous to the person receiving the report. The manager of the website has, there are three required fields in order to make a report. You have to give your name, your phone number, and your email address. So the manager of the website knows who this person is, which will decrease the likelihood that someone's going to risk, you know, making this kind of, you know, false claim if someone were going to do that. Mm-hmm. And finally, the way the website is set up, it's set up so that if a person emails a complaint or a praise report three or more times from the same email address, the site notifies the manager and says, you need to look into this to make sure that there's no fraud going on. Originally, the site was going to be a very basic kind of just put it up there and get people to report. Well, it's so technologically advanced that I don't even need to be there. It's not like I'm sitting at my computer saying, okay, someone sent in a report, let me send it to this person. It's all done automatically. And the way it works is the reporter sends in the report, it comes to the website, and the website automatically sends out the member a notice. Instead of just sending the report, we want to make sure that this didn't get sent to a bulk email and they discarded it. It says, you need to come to housemynanny.com and check the site because you have a report there. So it's really, you know, the likelihood of that happening is very slim as far as we can see.
We're speaking with Jill Staroshevsky, the launcher of the House My Nanny website, which started in October. Our number, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Cynthia joins us on the line. Cynthia is calling from Tennessee.
Hi, I would just like to ask Jill, how are you absolutely sure that this nanny was not watching these little girls, just perhaps sitting back and letting them have a bit of playtime to themselves, yet if they had become endangered, she would have run up after them, as you didn't seem to note that she was there at all. So, and I'll listen off the air.
Okay, Cynthia, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Cynthia, I appreciate your question. What ended up happening was I went to the park at lunchtime, and there's a sign on the park that says you're not supposed to enter the park if you're not accompanied by a child. And so, you know, this woman was in the park by herself, as far as I could tell. She was reading the book. So I actually noticed her before I went in, and I asked, you know, if that's something, do you have to be here with the child, that type of thing. So I did notice her, and I noticed that she was immersed, you know, reading her book, which is why when the children ran up to her an hour later, I thought to myself, why are they bothering this woman who's here by herself? And the way the park is set up, it's right, I don't know if you've ever been to New York City, it's right on the avenue, meaning the gates are open, and, you know, if a ball went into the street, this woman wouldn't have had time to respond. She was off to the side, away from where they were playing, and she was really into her own business. I mean, so much so that as a prosecutor and a mother of now two, at that time one, it really concerned me, and I think it would concern the mother of those two children had they known it, but of course they don't because there was no way for me to tell them.
Sometimes people can, you know, nanny is a tough job. Nannies are often from different cultural backgrounds than the parents are, and different cultural backgrounds from people who might be concerned about their behavior. There can be misunderstandings.
Absolutely. And that's why one of the very good things about this website is there are all these blogs that have come up, and I only recently know what a blog is. Mm-hmm. But there are these, you know, blogs that are, you know, I saw your nanny do this or I saw your nanny do that. And I guess the idea is people come to the blogs every day and they check and they see if their nanny's doing something. But the blogs are very vague. A nanny who fits this description did this to a child who's got blonde hair and blue eyes. And there's no way to know if they're talking about your child or not. So, you know, and I, on that subject, you know, a friend of mine called me earlier in the year and said that Elizabeth Hasselbeck from The View, a host of The View, came onto the air and said she had a bad nanny sighting. And she was on her way to work, and there was two children in a stroller who were left unattended. For 7 minutes, she stood there and she said, I'm going to, you know, do I call the police? What do I do? I'm going to wait till the mother comes out. 7 minutes later, a woman came out of the diner or whatever it was, and it turned out it was the nanny. So she tries to take out her camera phone, and she says she's going to take a picture, and I don't know what she's going to do with the picture, because how is anyone going to know, like, you know, Elizabeth had this bad nanny sighting? Well, she has a national platform, and she went on TV, and she told everyone, if this is your child, she was two and had brown hair, and... You know, I haven't spoken to them, but I can almost guarantee you that that mom of those two children has no idea that their nanny left their child alone. If they had only had an HowsMyNanny.com license plate, Elizabeth Hasselbeck or anyone else who doesn't have a national platform has to get on their computer, log into the website, no cost at all, input the number, boom. That parent directly gets the email. It's not on some blog that needs to be searched or a parent checking her blog every day. You get a personalized email that doesn't get posted for everyone else to see. This isn't some kind of, you know, those blogs tend to turn into cattiness and, oh, I saw a nanny do this. And this is just a private email.
We just have a few seconds left with you. Nannying is a hard enough job as it is. I'm not sure any of us would like, you know, these kind of stickers on our backs as we do our jobs every day.
Well, isn't, you know, anyone who has a job who potentially has some kind of, you know, someone's lives potentially in their hands has some level of oversight. Police officers have badges. Healthcare providers, you know, or train conductors are drug tested. Nannies who take care of our most precious things in the world are the only people I can think of who go out in the world and no one knows who they are. No one can report anything good about them and no one can report anything bad. And, you know, this is a way to fix that. I've been told that parents follow people back to their doorman and leave a note with the doorman. I saw your nanny do X, Y, and Z. I'm just trying to facilitate this so that the children can be safer.
Good luck with it. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
Jill Staroshevsky, creator of How's My Nanny website and license plates, a prosecutor and mother of two. She joined us from our bureau in New York City. We're going to talk more about the pros and cons of a snitch society and take more of your calls when we come back from a break. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We've all seen those brightly colored How's My Driving stickers on delivery trucks for years. Today we're talking about what's next in public reporting on public activities and the pros and cons of neighbors snitching on each other. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And joining us now is Lior Strahilovitz. He's an assistant professor of law at the University of Chicago Law School, and he thinks every car should have a How's My Driving sticker on it. Mr. Strahilovitz, why do you think all of us should have this? We know a lot of trucks do. That's a company put them on there.
Well, I think we can start with what Jill Staroshevsky alluded to, which is that with respect to buses and commercial trucks and vans, these How's My Driving stickers seem to work quite well. The best available studies do suggest that after these placards are placed on the backs of vehicles, accident reductions ranging from 20 to 53% for fleets occur. I think one thing that drew me to this topic and one thing that drew me to this idea is a dissatisfaction with the way the current system regulates traffic. Traffic police focus almost exclusively on catching speeders, and drivers who engage in equally unsafe practices like tailgating, unsafe lane changes, failures to yield, and running stop signs are rarely punished. The police can't be everywhere at once, but we motorists can. So I want to propose a system with fewer traffic police and more reliance on us citizen police who are in our cars watching other people drive badly and increasingly frustrated about the impotence that we feel when we're unable to do anything other than perhaps use an expletive or mutter silently to ourselves.
How would you control for malicious calls or people making judgments based on prejudices rather than on actual bad driving?
It's a great question. Whenever we have a system that relies on feedback of any kind, so we could think about the eBay feedback points, we could think about Slashdot's karma system, whereby users who are participating in Slashdot, essentially an online news provider, they're constantly ranking and commenting on the comments and news stories that other people post. Now, in any system like this, there's going to be large numbers of inaccurate comments, small numbers, perhaps medium numbers of deliberately inaccurate comments. But the idea is that if you get enough people to participate in the system, the law of large numbers makes those inaccurate comments fairly easy to disregard or marginalize. So let me give you one example, right? The Zagat Guide. We all know it. In many cities, it's the Bible for deciding whether you want to go to a restaurant or not. Mm-hmm. Well, in any city in which the Zagat Guide is published, there are some people who are going to say the Olive Garden is the best restaurant in town. Now, there will be lots of other people who suggest contrary opinions, and the Zagat editors can sort through the many submissions that they get and conclude whether, in fact, this suggestion that the Olive Garden is the best restaurant in town represents a consensus or whether it represents an idiosyncratic view. And you would try and do the same thing with a traffic system. So,
Or whether it's the owner of the Olive Garden writing in several times.
Well, and that's a big problem. So websites like TripAdvisor, which is a wonderful website for rating hotels, restaurants, etc. TripAdvisor has to do quite a bit of policing to make sure that neither the entrepreneurs nor their families are responsible for favorable feedback. So that's something that, quite frankly, websites like TripAdvisor are investing lots of resources in. I think that their technologies for sorting out the accurate and the inaccurate are improving. Frankly, we're not all the way there yet. And people that I've talked to in the software industry suggest that there are increasingly sophisticated algorithms for sorting out the accurate and the inaccurate. Now, the idea behind How's My Driving for Everyone would simply be that there are a relatively small number of bad drivers, aggressive drivers, who make life unpleasant on the roads for all of us. So, for example, if a driver occasionally gets a bad report once a year, once every other year, complaining about their conduct, it'd be fairly easy to disregard that and not forward that type of report to the insurance companies, not forward it to the government. But there's going to be some drivers out there who are generating 10, 20 calls from different frustrated motorists every year. And we know that these people are the ones who are likely to be eventually getting into accidents, crashing into people.
Well, why don't we get some feedback from the public in terms of phone calls? 800-989-8255. Let's turn to Al. Al's calling us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi there.
Hi.
This nanny snitch is a great idea, I'll have to say, but there is another side to it, and this sort of relates to the current discussion, too, is that I was had my daughter with me. I'm a truck driver. I had my daughter with me, and we stopped at a restaurant. And we left the restaurant, and within 3 minutes of leaving the restaurant, there was a state police car pulling us over. Somebody had called in and said, this truck driver is leaving with this girl that doesn't belong to him. And it was like, whoa, this is really bizarre, because she was my daughter.
Right.
She went in with me to the restaurant. We sat there, and we ate in the restaurant, went out of the restaurant together and got in our truck and left. That was, so there's another side to this, to the snitch idea. There's, you can be doing perfectly legitimate things and get busted. Mm-hmm. I did tell the policeman that if my daughter were being kidnapped, I really would like that kind of reaction.
Yes.
But that wasn't the case.
But presumably nothing terrible happened as a result.
No, no.
Have you ever been?
I did have to prove to him that she was my daughter.
Do you have one of those How's My Driving bumper stickers?
No, we don't. My company doesn't have those. But we have big signs on the sides of our trucks that say who we are, and it's not difficult to get in touch with my company.
And has anybody called the company to complain or praise your driving?
No, not either way.
Hmm. All right, Al, thanks very much.
All right.
Bye-bye. And Al does point out, a potential problem here.
Well, I think any system that tries to enforce the law, whether it be the rules of the road or the rules governing kidnapping, is going to run into the problem of the false positive. So clearly, Al experienced a false positive. False positives can arise through citizen reporting, though they can also arise through police enforcement of law, right? So it could have just as easily been a cop sitting in the diner who, acting on his own initiative, made the mistake of thinking that Al was involved in something untoward with the young woman who turns out to be his daughter.
Yeah. Let's get Ken on the line. Ken calling us from Shelburne Falls.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I just have an anecdote about the one time I was moved to call How's My Driving Number, which was some time ago. I was following an 18-wheeler truck home, and for miles and miles and miles of bad winter driving, it wasn't letting about 20 cars go past it, and it was going very, very slow. And after a long, long time, I was right up behind it, and I saw the number, and I thought, well, I'm going to call this number. This is the time. And so I jotted the number down, and I got home, and I thought, well, at least, you know, I'm home safe, and I can call this number, and there's some justice in the world. And I called the number, and it was a phone sex line.
Oh, no.
Well, perhaps not the relief you were looking for.
No. But that was my first and last call to that number.
All right, Ken, thanks very much.
I had a similar experience of my own driving here in Chicago, where I had an experience with an extremely aggressive driver of a big rig, and saw that he did have a placard. And that he had crossed out the last four numbers so that you could only dial the 1-800-555, and then everything else had been blacked out. And I thought, well, that suggests that this How's My Driving system is working, because this is an aggressive driver who knows he's an aggressive driver and has taken the trouble of trying to thwart the system. Now, obviously, one hopes that his employers will ultimately realize what he's up to.
Mm. Let's get Mark on the line. Mark calling us from New Jersey.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I don't think it's snitching at all. I think it's establishing social accountability. Just like checking for child abuse in hospitals, if you bring your kid in, I've experienced it. And, it's a broken wrist. Yeah, sure, he fell down the steps. I don't mind them grilling me about that. But my experience with the traffic sticker on the truck has been very good from both directions. I think it breaks the myth of public anonymity, and because dangerous driving is everybody's business.
That seems to be a large part of your point, Lior Strahelovich.
It is. I mean, the traffic accidents are the leading cause of death for Americans aged 15 to 29. Globally, 1.2 million people die every year from traffic accidents. If we can get anything even closely approximating the 20 to 53% reductions in accidents that the commercial fleets seem to be experiencing, according to the best studies we've got, then we could save thousands, tens of thousands of lives.
I don't know if there's any collected data on it, but I think it's repetitive bad behavior that really causes a lot of accidents. And if you can get this behavior to stop before it runs into another car, I think it's better.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to add, I think that's right. The data that I've looked at from the traffic scholars and from the insurance industry suggests that really 80 to 90% of American drivers are basically safe, courteous, and skilled. But there are these bad apples, and they're consistent, right? They're bad apples over time. Now, the status quo says, well, we'll identify those bad drivers once they crash into someone. How's My Driving, the advantage of it, the reason why it seems to work well with fleets, is that you can identify them earlier, more accurately. And as Jill suggested, you can deter some of the worst driving, which probably some people listening to Talk of the Nation right now are seeing in front of them, right? Someone swerving from one lane to another unnecessarily, someone incessantly hitting their brakes, someone tailgating right behind them. It's frustrating. It's angering. And currently we have no system for collecting the feedback that many motorists, I think, would like to provide.
Lior Strahelovich, thanks very much for being with us today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Lior Strahelovich is an assistant professor of law at the University of Chicago Law School, and he joined us today from a studio on the campus at the University of Chicago. Alexandra Natapoff has written extensively about snitching, particularly relating to government and the criminal justice system. She's an associate professor of law at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles. She's now with us on the phone from her home in L.A. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Have we become a very mistrustful nation where everyone needs to watch everyone else?
Well, it's such an important topic to be discussing in this context, and I'm so glad that you've asked me to weigh in. I think that it's important to look at the nature of the information and the interaction in any given informant or snitching program. Your caller, Mark, who spoke a moment ago, who said this, you know, the how's my driving, that's not snitching, that's social accountability. Well, sometimes getting more information into the right hands can be a positive thing. But sometimes, as you've mentioned, I've written about snitching in the criminal justice system, sometimes institutionalized snitching can be a very negative thing. And so I think it's we shouldn't be too hasty to write the whole informing or surveillance question off or to embrace it fully, but to look carefully at the kind of relationships that snitching and informing and surveillance threatens and decide whether it's worth it at any given time to institute that kind of program.
Well, if those statistics are right, for example, that how's my driving bumper stickers reduces accidents by significant percentages, that seems to be an unalloyed good.
It does seem very good. But that's only one piece of the puzzle. One of the reasons that how's my driving may be a very good program is not merely that it deters bad driving, because in our criminal justice system and more generally in our system of laws, preventing the bad thing from happening is only one half of the equation. The other half of the equation is what do we give up by having such a program? And from Professor Strahlevich's description and just our common sense understanding of driving, it sounds like we don't give up a whole lot by having such a program. I don't need to trust the person driving in the next lane on the freeway. I only need him to obey the rules of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in other scenarios, we may be giving up a lot more by instituting informant programs, snitching programs, and so forth, because it does call the question of trust into play. You ask, for example, Ms. Staroshevsky in the program, how do you think the nannies feel walking around with license plates on their toddler push carriers?
Right.
And I thought implicitly what you were asking her is there any downside to asking complete strangers to surveil the person that you've entrusted your child to? And I think the snitching question, the informant, and the surveillance question raises central issues about how we police ourselves and what are the appropriate methods that we should use to do so.
We're talking about the snitch society. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Des. Des calling us from South Dakota.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm old enough to remember the Soviet Union, and growing up and hearing these stories about the KGB and what made the KGB so bad was that they encouraged turning in your neighbor. Now,
or your mom or your child.
Yes, exactly. Now, someone who believes it is okay today, you know, because we are defined by our actions, then was the KGB just in what they did?
Well, we're a long way from How's My Nanny to the KGB, but I wonder, Alexandra Natapoff, is this the top of a slippery slope?
Neil, I think it is, and again, that's why it's so important to be specific about what use of snitches or informants are we talking about. As your caller mentioned, we have very disturbing evidence that the pervasive use of informants to maintain the rules and to enforce the law can be extremely destructive. Des mentioned the Soviet Union and the KGB. I've written a little bit about the East German police, the Stasi, who are infamous using informants. Mm-hmm. And we now have psychological profiles of the individuals who lived through that era, and they report that the idea that they were being watched by friends and family members and their colleagues and companions was destructive to their family relationships, to political and intellectual development, to the artistic communities, merely because the bonds of trust had been so eroded. And I think when we consider using informants, not informant systems and surveillance, not just to monitor driving anonymous or other extremely public minor offenses, but more important life activities, that's where using informants becomes a socially potentially socially destructive public policy.
Des, thanks very much for the
call. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Alexandra Natapoff, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Alexandra Natapoff is an associate professor of law at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles. She joined us on the phone from her home in Los Angeles. When we come back from a short break, we're going to talk about the best hacks, upgrades, and downloads to fix your folks' computer while you're visiting back home over the holidays. If you have a question or a tip, give us a call. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also send us an email if your parents' computer is working, talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.